Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I'm going to share my experiences with Star Tours. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod, and you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. You can just search Force Ghost Conversations and you'll find us on those platforms. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there'll be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. And finally, please be sure to check out our TeePublic store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Hey, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, everybody. As I teased in last week's episode, of course, the conclusion of our Galaxy's Edge series for the time being, we're going to talk a little bit about Star Tours this week. And particularly, we're going to talk my experiences. And then at the end, I think I'm going to do a live reaction to the original Star Tours ride, because they did a POV movie of the original ride at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim in 2022 in celebration of the 35 years anniversary of Star Tours. And let's just start at the beginning here, because the first time that I went on Star Tours, it was 2007. Let's go with that. The ride had been at both Disneyland and Disney World since, I believe, 1987, at least Disneyland in 1987. That's really what they were celebrating the 35 years for. So we're talking the 20th anniversary that I was able to go on the ride myself. The ride was a wonderful combination of work done by both ILM and Disney Imagineers to capture the magic of what it feels like to be a part of these climactic moments in the film franchise that we love, that Galaxy Far, Far Away. I believe the story goes that Bob Eisner was basically asking his son at the time, I believe he was 14 or something like that, right? The ripe age to be a fan of the Galaxy Far, Far Away, what ride that they should incorporate into Disneyland next. And of course, he said, let's look at Star Wars, because he was a fan of that and thought that it would be a great avenue by which to explore for future storytelling. George Lucas, of course, was open to the idea. He was at Disneyland on the second day of opening and was a big fan of both the Disney Company and the work that they were doing at Disneyland and Disney World, of course, in order to create these family-friendly experiences that they were cultivating. So it was basically a perfect marriage, if you will, between these two companies. And the results are a fantastic motion sensor, if you will. It's a great mix of like the movie plays on screen that ILM really did a great job of cultivating, mixing the film with the motion that the Imagineers put together, right? It's a very motion-based ride. I think it's like 3 or 4 minutes or something like that. And especially in its original state, it looks like it's 4 minutes long in its original state. And they had tested it to the point where they could find out how much motion that a person could take before they start feeling ill. And they basically got Star Tours all the way up to the point of that, where generally most people would start feeling ill if they were on the ride for a few seconds longer. Now, I know Star Tours is not the most favored ride for some people because of that, because of the herky-jerkiness of it all, because it is 3D. I believe, I don't know if the original version was in 3D, but I know for a fact that from 2007 onwards, at least, it was a 3D version So, you know, you're wearing the glasses, your feet, you're strapped in. It's not the most comfy seat, if you will. All that great stuff goes into it. And I can understand to some people, if they're like, man, this is too much of jerking around, that I just don't want to, you know, subject myself to, or if you're prone to motion sickness and all that stuff, totally understandable. But yeah, Star Tours, so 1987, it goes up, and the rest is history. Star Wars fans come out from all across the globe to see it. And it's still one of the most popular attractions in the parks that it's we're at today. I know there's Disneyland Paris has one. I think Tokyo Disneyland has one. I can't guarantee whether Hong Kong or Shanghai have one, but I know at least those other parks certainly do. And honestly, it's one of my favorite rides. This is a must do for me anytime I'm at those parks. I must be on Star Tours. The thing that I like about Star Tours the most, and it's kind of where it counteracts to what we talked about with Galaxy's Edge, where Galaxy's Edge exists in a time and place, or at least right now. It exists between episodes 8 and 9. Canon-wise, you may see other characters pop up in there, but Batuu is a place, and the rides take place within a specific point in time. But Star Tours, it is the flexibility to be outside of canon. Certainly, you're going to experience things that you see, and you get that feeling of being a part of this galaxy far, far away. But they can mix and match things. Now, I know the original Star Tours ride had certain things that they wanted to hit on, right? The trench run, all that type of stuff. Fighting on the Death Star. Great stuff. But with the 2005 update, where they incorporated more 3D elements and stuff from the prequels, that opened up a catalog of, all right, now you rode it this time, now you go to like three different planets or something like that, three different experiences, and you run to a villain. Someone gets to be the rebel spy, right? Fun interactive ways to keep the audience engaged. But it also creates that repeat value where if you ride it a second time, you probably are going to get another different combination of planets. And if you ride it a third time, you're going to get another different iteration of experiences and planets. And they've only continued to do that with subsequent updates, right? They did it with the sequel trilogy, and they're currently doing that now, where in 2024, they're going to be adding some more areas from this recent aspects of storytelling that we've seen since 2019. Including the sequel trilogy, some of these shows that have been on streaming platforms, which I think is awesome. If you're looking for the antithesis for Galaxy's Edge, it is certainly Star Tours, a place that exists outside of canon where you can have these fun experiences, multiple experiences, and generally a great time at the same time while doing that. And it allows both to exist in their own right. I hope Star Tours exists forever. And from there, I want to go talk to my original story with Star Tours. 2007, right? A younger me was going on his first trip, at least the first trip I can remember. Let's be clear. I was a 3-year-old kid that my parents took me to Disney World, and I don't remember a thing of it. But 13-year-old me, at least, 12, 13-year-old me, knew. I can remember all that experience, certainly. I didn't know that there was a ride for Star Tours. I was unaware of it at that time. I was not a fan of theme parks. I grew up right across the street from Hershey Park. My grandma lived there in Hershey, Pennsylvania. She grew up, she had a house literally within across the street from the park. I could see the fence that would take you to the park. I could hear the rides all the time, people yelling and screaming on these thrill roller coasters that I wanted no part of. I saw the traffic, just it's just a wild place to be at if you live in a small town that is also encompassed by a huge, massive theme park. So, you know, I wasn't a believer at the time, but in 2007, 2008, might have gotten my dates mixed up. My mom wanted to have these experiences with me as an older person, so we could have just some fun together and do that summer vacation thing that most families do. But I was skeptical at the time. I was like, I don't know. Why do I care about this? I also wasn't like the biggest Disney fan at the time. I didn't understand what the IPs were. Just all that, you know, I was also just a teenager. All that fun stuff comes into play here. When I find out, though, that there is a whole Star Tours ride and I can see these characters and it looks like Endor, I can hop on a speeder bike. I was enthralled right then and there. I said that this is a wonderful use of IP. And the fact that I was able to see and experience things that I had only seen within movies, that now I could have my own experience within that galaxy far, far away. I said, perfect, sign me up. I loved going on the ride. I think we went on it immediately again after that. So I rode that definitely two times during that experience. Jump forward a few couple years, 2012, the December of 2012, my senior year of high school. I was part of the marching band. And during the holiday break, we took a trip down to Disney World on buses, and we performed at Magic Kingdom. I was also part of the orchestra at the time, and we performed at Disney Springs, then called Downtown Disney. And our chorus also was a participant of the candlelight festivities that were at Epcot. But the alternative of doing all those things was that we got to go to the parks for basically 5 days over a holiday break season, which when you're with your friends and you don't have your parents around with you, that's really the best case scenario. You're 17, 18, you can free roam across the park, little supervision from a chaperone that you just needed to check in with every couple of hours. That was the best experience ever. We had park hoppers. We could go to any park we wanted to. Just had to let them know where we're at. Of course, all of my friends were also big fans of this universe that we're also super huge fans of on this podcast. We must have rode this ride 10 times just to see the various experiences that we'd get. And let me tell you, each time that we rode it, not only did it feel like a different experience, but we were just captivated by the feelings of being on Star Tours. The feeling of jumping off into this hyperspace adventure, seeing these experiences and plot lines and sceneries that we could only dream of or at least see on a DVD at that time. Now we were able to put on 3D glasses, feel the motion of the spaceship going off, and have a blast together. It's funny that we talked about the potential of the future for the franchise during these conversations. This was the pre-sale to the Disney company. And my friends were like, hey, do you think, because they knew I was probably the expert when it came to this stuff at the time. And they were like, hey, do you think they're ever making episode 7, 8, or 9 or something like that? Or continue beyond Return of the Jedi? And I was like, probably not. Not at this point. Little did I know what was going on behind the scenes, these conversations taking place, and I'm certainly thrilled of what we've gotten since then. But at the time, I was like, hey, that's a clear story. That's a done deal at the end there. And we've got the legend stories if we want to continue in books and canon. And I know TV shows were going on at the same time. And so, hey, you know, there's a lot going on if you're a fan of this stuff, and the stories certainly never end. So you can enjoy what you got, but otherwise, I think this is it. Little did we know, a couple months later, and the announcement comes out, and the world changed after that. But let me tell you, being on that ride with my friends is one of the best things that I can remember, and it's a fun memory that I hold on to when I think about my fandom in this galaxy. Then, in 2022, with Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations at Disneyland prior to Star Wars Celebration, we rode Star Tours together. First time at Disneyland too. First time in 10 years riding Star Tours, and with some of the new updates that they had done since the last time that I read it, because obviously some new content came out since then. The ride didn't change too much other than just adding some of those new details along the way of different experiences that you can have, different categories of scenes to pull from. I don't recall getting anyone different. I think we got definitely Hoth, Naboo, and I want to say the Death Star. So I think that's what we got. But again, it's so cool that you can do literally three different different movies that you're pulling from there of experiences, and it's only going to keep going further and further into the future as the stories adapt, they grow, they change. All that fun stuff is going into this ride. So that's where Star Tours is at now, and those are my experiences here. Like I said, it is a must-do anytime that I am in one of these parks. I'm not going to say no to going on it again. Twice. Three times. Let's do it. It's a new experience each and every time, and until I feel like I've seen this thing again, which is probably never going to happen, I'm going to keep doing it. Anywho, let's move on to the other portion of what I was going to talk about in this show, which is basically watching the original ride POV that they have posted onto YouTube as a result of they had it during the 35 years of Star Tours panel at Star Wars Celebration 2022 in Anaheim. And fortunately, they posted that video online, and now I can watch it along with all of you. It features, of course, DJ Rex from the original ride, who is now the droid DJ at Oga's Cantina. A very fun Easter egg, if you ask me. And voiced by none other than Paul Reubens, who unfortunately passed away a few months ago, even at this point now. But, you know, I'm glad that he's able to persevere via that character, DJ Rex. And we also, of course, have our memories and this video here of the original Star Tours ride, which I'm thrilled to watch and to react with all of you. If you want to pull it up to watch for yourself, just go to YouTube, search Star Tours. I believe it was the first link that came up. And this is the original ride from 1987. So I'm going to hit play right now. Oh, yeah. Pre-launch sequences away. I love hearing Paul Reubens' voice here. It's a lot of fun. Whew. Clear for takeoff. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Okay. Going up to the... Oh, they went to the wrong way. Of course, brakes aren't... Man, I can just imagine those people that are inside the ride, feeling all the G forces of moving up and down inside the hydraulics of the ship. Of course, lightspeed to Endor, R2. Whew, I love that line. I love just saying it all the time when I'm in the car. They did a great job doing the hyperspace sequence too. Ooh, past the Endor moon. Comets. Whew. Some turbulence up ahead. They did also an amazing job with this like asteroid sequence with these like huge crystals out in space, these comets. I mean, that's just wild. Can imagine just being in the inside the ship there, inside the ride, evading all these wild things, and you literally go inside one of the crystals. Kudos to the ILM team for putting this movie together. Man, talk about a blending of great work and vision. I know Dennis Muren was working on this project. That's what you say all the time. You can never just relax when it comes to one of these rides. Of course, there's the Empire. Couple Star Destroyers. Reminiscent of a little bit of Empire. Definitely of the first scene from A New Hope. Of course, Star Tours is always in the midst of a great battle. Yikes. Of course, there's a Death Star, too. Could you imagine being someone in 1987 riding this for the first time? Not only feeling the like you're in an actual ship inside an actual battle, but you actually get to see the whole Death Star and to be a part of the famous trench run. How could you not think that is like the coolest thing ever? I mean, you're literally with these X-Wings. They're going onto the, basically taking down onto the surface of the Death Star. With, the, of course, the fanfare in the background, this John Williams score. It's incredible. This is, I mean, let me tell you, folks, this is a ride from 1987. And I, you know, I'm feeling the adrenaline, the fire, the intensity from just watching a video of it. I'm also like feel like I'm moving my body along with where the person would be generally moving if they're experiencing the ride itself. We're in the trench run right now. I mean, holy cow. This is like the most one of the most iconic images of the film. And I bet you that's Luke right there. Yes, of course. Jump to light speed, get away from the Death Star explosion, right? You were literally just a part of history there. Galactic history. You did all that, and now you jump to light speed again, and you're going to have some crash landing here in this new port here. Light speed to Endor, everybody. Also, you just barely almost knocked into a fuel depot, right? Some coaxium. Poor DJ Rex still getting used to his program. There's 3PO's voice, Anthony Daniels. And what an amazing ride, everybody. That is Star Tours. Amazing. Amazing. If you want to experience that for yourself, again, such a great, neat piece of history and a great tie to the original aspect of this ride. And the feeling is still there, of course. All that is still there in what you would ride at if you go to Star Tours right now and you're a part of the fun, the adventure, all of it. That same feeling that I got while watching this is exactly while what you get when you ride the ride today. So I implore you all again, go to these parks if you can, if you're able to, and experience them for yourself, because you're not going to regret it. Trust me. It's a fun experience, and you're going to create memories for a lifetime. And those are my experiences on Star Tours, and we just shared a new one together of me watching the original Star Tours ride. Have you ridden it before? How many times can you ride it in one day? Let's have all of these fun discussions about Star Tours as we continue our look at all the different things of the galaxy far, far away, aside from the scripted content that we're not able to talk about or promote here during the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes. So with that, folks, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Of course, if you want to follow the show on social media, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Hive. Just search Force Ghost Conversations and we'll be there in some capacity. And we'd love to continue the conversation with you on those platforms. You can also, if you like the show, support us via other means such as subscribing, rating, and giving the show a review on your podcast listening site of choice. You can also tell your friends about us. Share the show on your social media accounts. That goes a long way in helping us grow our fan base. You can also, if you like, subscribe to our Patreon site, where for various tiers, as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a lot of Force Ghost Conversations goodies. And we have a Tee Public store, where if you want to physically wear merchandise with our logos on it out in the wild, you can purchase t-shirts, hoodies, pillows, blankets, iPhone cases, all that fun stuff is available on our Tee Public site, which of course our Patreon and our Tee Public store have links in the episode description of this podcast. And with that, folks, we will be back next time next week with a brand new episode. May the Force be with you and take care. Thank you.